Hello and welcome to the India Dunn and Company podcast. I am so excited to share today's conversation with you with Sarah Mack, the spiritual hairdresser. This conversation was so fun for me and touching. I know Sarah as a peer, an educator, and a soul sister, and I really enjoyed getting a deeper look into her daily life and her journey into where she is now as a mom, a wife, a daughter, friend, a peer, and a teacher. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. And welcome to the India Dunn and Company podcast. I am so excited to invite you to a conversation with Sarah Mack, the spiritual hairdresser. Sarah, how are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me. It is an honor to be speaking with you today.
Oh, you're so sweet. It's a mutual feeling. So I hope that spreads the love for all the people listening. So tell the listeners, where are you working? How are you working? Who's Sarah?
Who's Sarah? I mean, that's an ever-changing thing, I think. I think I'm a different person every day, hopefully growing into who I'll become at the end of this journey. But where I'm at right now is I am a mama first and foremost. I have three beautiful daughters, and I'm a wife and a daughter myself. And I, as a career, I'm a hairdresser. And I just love to help people, and I love our industry. And it's been such an amazing ride for 11 years officially.
Wow. Congratulations on 11.
Yes. Thank you. I know, magic number.
It is.
Yeah. So I knew in high school that I wanted to be a hairdresser, and my parents' path for me, ideally was a little bit different. And it all worked out, though. And now being a parent, I can look back and see that they just wanted the best for me. And trust me, there is no parent handbook. And I'm going through that every day, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not easy being a parent. I think it's the hardest job that I have out of all of my many hats that I wear. But it's also one of the, it's one of the most rewarding. And you just want the best for your kids, and you want to give them everything, and you want to set them up for success. And, you know, for my parents, in their mind, because they didn't get to have a formal college education, they really wanted that for me.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I did.
So it wasn't necessarily a stigma around what a hairdresser, you know, a beautician. It wasn't that. It was more that they hadn't had the college experience, so they wanted you to have it.
Yeah. That's you know, cool. And yeah, they, like a lot of people, still believe that a college education is very important to set you up for success. And I do think it's a really awesome stepping stone for certain career paths. And it was an amazing experience. I can look back at that now, and I still have some of the best friends from those years in college. And
so cool.
I appreciate all those life skills that I picked up in those years at university. And I think it's really helped me be an even better hairdresser, even though it has nothing to do with hair. But it's more about, the life skills that came along with those years.
So important. Because usually the hairdresser artist type doesn't really have a good grasp on some of the real life stuff, you know, the bookkeeping, you know, the numbers, the business part of it.
Yeah.
So that's and awesome.
Yeah. It really has, I think, helped me, because we're, as a hairdresser, you're always looking for something to kind of set yourself apart from the hairdresser, even in the next chair over.
Right.
And unfortunately, like, one of my pet peeves for hairdressers is that they always run late. And I think that's one thing clients really appreciate about me, at least I think so, is that I'm always on time. Like, I'm very good at time management. And I really believe that's because, you know, I had those, you have deadlines when you're in school, you have like tests you have to meet. And even though I'm not testing, anymore. I still am very time aware. Like, I call myself like a time cop. Well, someone called me that one time and I was like, yeah, that's okay. I'm okay with being a time cop because I have a respect for other people's time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't have everyone's time is very, very valuable. And I respect that. And so I just don't want to be that hairdresser that adds to that stigma that all hairdressers run behind.
Right. So, right.
And if you want to change something about our industry, that's, you have to look to yourself first and see like what you're doing to either add value to the industry or hurt the industry. Right. So those are things that I focus on within myself.
It's definitely an attribute.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's important.
Well, like I said, you know, before we started recording, just that, you know, I appreciate you taking the time to do this because I do believe that time is our most precious commodity.
Yes.
Really and truly, you know, and that, that you're adding value to the time that that person spends with you by respecting theirs in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell the listeners, like, the situation that you're in now is really just quite extraordinary. You're very fortunate. Where are you working?
Yes. So I was in a salon for 8 years, a really big salon. And I, to be honest, I loved it. I am very people oriented. I love to be around people, like the energy, like I feed off energy and I love that. Now I still require my downtime. And that's something that I've learned throughout the years is that, especially being an educator and traveling around.
Yeah.
Like I love to network and I love to be with people, but then I also need that space and time for myself every day to unwind. And I think everyone needs that.
Yes.
Even if you're not an introvert, like you still need to take care of yourself every day, even if it's only for 20 minutes. I try to make it an hour, but sometimes I only have 20 minutes. But
every day.
You're doing it
every day though.
Yes. It's amazing. It has to happen every day. So I was in a big salon and I actually didn't want to leave. I loved where I worked and I know that's very rare for a big salon, but I switched. I'm an educator. So I switched manufacturers and the salon I was working with was with a different manufacturer. So it was a conflict of interest. And so I had to go into my own space and I didn't really want to work for anyone else. And I live on a ranch, a beautiful 5-acre piece of property, kind of on the most northwestern part of my city. And so my husband's been trying to get me to work from home anyway. So he offered to take our 2-car garage and convert it to a beautiful 2-chair studio. And I mean, it's just amazing.
So beautiful.
I'm sitting in here now just staring out my window and I'm surrounded by mountains and you can't see any of my neighbors and there's just beautiful trees. And I'm really, really lucky. It's this beautiful space that I've curated for not only myself, but for my clients and their experience as well. And, you know, I lost obviously clientele moving out here. But for the clients that stay with me, I think they really enjoy the space. And so I'm really proud of it and it's really comfortable. And I love to create in this space.
Yeah, I bet it's such a, for me, it's an ideal situation because I prefer to be by myself these days after having been in the business as long as I have.
Yes.
But I can imagine for your people kind of getting the peace of the space and also just getting to soak you up. Because you're probably so much more energized and focused and inspired and all those good things.
Yeah, it's just, it's a different experience. I love them both. There's, you know, there's pluses and minuses to every situation.
True.
So there are some negative things within my space, but it's nothing, it's not like a deal breaker or anything, but there's positives and negatives to every situation. I just choose to look at the positives no matter where I'm at. And I think that's, we should all try to do that because yeah, there's just going to be that in every situation you go into, but it's more about the way you look at something.
Yeah. Your perspective.
Yeah. Sure. Your perspective.
Well, and that's contagious, you know? So
yeah,
it ripples out.
Yep.
So how long have you had the ranch?
So we've lived here for 5 years now. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I wanted it and I know nothing about horses, but I'm an animal lover. And I have my middle daughter, which is my oldest daughter, because my oldest is my stepdaughter. And then I have my oldest is 10.
Okay.
And when she was 3, she got into horseback riding and
wow.
Yeah, and she just fell in love with it. And to watch her become so passionate about something, like nonstop India, she would ask me to go to the ranch, you know, day. And to, I just wanted as a parent to fuel whatever it was that my kids fall in love with. That is like my number one goal. And until they don't like it anymore, and then they can move on.
But, totally.
Like she just, you know, was obsessed. And so when she was 4, I told my husband, I want ranch property. And he's so amazing. And I couldn't do anything I do without him because he's just so supportive in everything I do. And I travel all over the country and I leave him to venture the house and with the kids. But I have amazing parents too that help us out. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, so we moved in with my parents for a year and saved. And yeah, we found this beautiful home. And my dad actually fell in love with it too. So he convinced my mom to sell their house and we sold our house and we all moved into the ranch together.
Oh my gosh. I didn't realize it was a family commune. That's amazing.
Yes. So my parents live here as well. And
so cool.
Yeah. I'm really blessed. Like even last night, you know, like my daughter goes and gets in my mom's bed and they're just snuggling and it's just the best feeling in the world.
Oh, that brings tears to my eyes. That is so sweet.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It's awesome. It's an amazing life and opportunity for sure.
Oh God, how lovely for them to grow up with generations. You know, right there that they have that intimate time with them.
Yeah.
And how beautiful for your parents. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But it's so funny because I completely manifested this and it goes back to my childhood, which is so funny because a lot of the things we do or we don't do is because of things that happened to us in our childhood, if you realize it or not. But totally. I lost all of my grandparents pretty young, and I was always so envious of my friends in high school that had grandparents that would spoil them. And yeah, so now I look and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I totally wanted kids young because I wanted them to know my parents and I want to know my grandchildren. And now we all live together. So I think I just laugh about it because I'm like, you know, once you set an intention, like watch out because it's going to,
right? Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, totally. But it's awesome.
So powerful. I love that. So beautiful. So speaking of being a really powerful manifester, you know, you've had some great moments of realization in your life where you saw things that you didn't want in your life anymore and began to, you know, take away, make space by taking things out of your life and then putting in the things that you did want. Can you tell the listeners about how that came about for you? Because I know it a little bit, but I want to hear it again.
Yeah. So my big like personal development, like transformation started to happen about 2 years ago, I want to say. And I was in education, or I am in education, and I was working for one manufacturer, and I ended up, this is the story you wanted to hear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just checking. there was a bunch of things that led up to me it just not feeling like the right fit anymore. And along came another opportunity and it was just kind of like the perfect storm. And so I left my original manufacturer and went to another one. And it's, you know, some people say like the grass isn't always greener, which is totally true.
Mm-hmm.
But the grass was definitely not greener. And it was a really bad, when I went to this next manufacturer, it was a really rough year for me. I was in a 1-year contract and it just didn't pan out the way I thought it was going to. And, but the funny thing about that is I don't regret the decision at all.
Right.
Because it's just completely launched me into who I'm becoming now. And you have to go through those rough patches to have that experience and then learn. I mean, that's the stuff that makes you grow. It's not all the happy moments that like really pushes you. It's like getting out of that comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't regret the move at all because it just propelled me into this new life. But yeah, I always knew there was something a little bit different about me. So when I hit this like rough patch professionally in my education career, it really, I turned to books, and that's my number one thing that I now recommend to anyone looking to start making a big change. There's so much information in reading that we don't have the time necessarily to sit down with another person and take that time to learn everything they have to know. And so when you pick up a book, you're gaining all this information compacted into like a smaller, more condensed version where it gives you like the bullet points and you can do it on your own time frame. It's not requiring two people for you to like contact someone and learn this important information. And then if you're not liking the information you're intaking, you just set it down and move on to the next. So it's a really, really great resource. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I stopped watching TV because to me, it's just a waste of time. Now, sometimes I get into some things like when I just need a good laugh, you know,
yeah.
Or if I want to sit down and watch a Christmas movie with my kids, like I don't beat myself up about that. But you know, I think I used to watch like 10 TV series, you know, which is like such a waste of time. So instead now I love podcasts and I love books and I love taking in and learning new information to expand my mind to, I mean, there's knowledge in reading, or, you know, and reading is powerful. So
yeah,
that's how it happened for me. And I try to do at least one book a month. Sometimes I can get through two. But now with podcasts, I find myself doing like one book a month and then like a bunch of different podcasts.
Awesome. And so tell us about what you're reading right now.
What I'm reading right now actually is more of a customer service book. And it's called Raving Fans. And I've been hearing good things. And it's an easy read. And this one, I normally do Audible. I have an Audible membership. But this one was only available on paperback. And it's a really easy read. And I like it. When I first started reading, I started off with like a lot of spiritual books and trying to find more into my spiritual side because I wasn't raised religious, but I always knew like that I believed in God and the universe or whatever you want to call it. And so those were the books in that rough year of my life. I was reading all those types of books. I still do read some of those books, but now I'm kind of transitioning into these more business books. I realized even as a hairdresser myself, I'll be honest, I am so guilty of not knowing my business knowing the numbers side. And again, I think kind of plagues our entire industry and kind of lowers our value as a professional. And so become more like good with numbers or better with their business. Cause there's plenty of people to teach you hair techniques. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do. When I'm working, I now am with Lanza Professional Healing Hair Care, and I absolutely love them. And that's what I travel around and do. And I'll teach you hair cutting and coloring and styling. And that's what I do for them. But on a personal side, as a hairdresser, I want to be able to speak to you as a hairdresser behind the chair that's succeeding in every right. aspect behind the chair. And I realized like I couldn't, you know, a month ago, I couldn't tell you what my average ticket cost is. I couldn't tell you how many number like clients I had, like my client list. And like, those are important things for us to know. Like I couldn't tell you. And I don't think mm-hmm. we realize that in hairdressers, because we are creatives, it doesn't necessarily like
to know those our things, fire right?
to know those things. And I realize that, but actually now that I'm like getting into it and I'm trying to figure out my business a little bit more, it's actually really exciting stuff. Like I kind of like it, and maybe it's not for everybody, but I think it's if you want to be a successful, well-rounded hairstylist, I just think it's an important part of the whole
package. And what do you think, like, are there tools that you, like an app or a bookkeeping, you know, situation? Do you go through Square? Do you use, you know, a different app for finding out your ticket totals and your client retention?
So I use my salon software. Now, the one I have right now okay. is Vigaro. And so I can look up like charts and different things. And I'm sure my app has even more features.
Well, I just know a lot of hairdressers are, you know, if they've been doing it for a while, even some of the younger ones, they might, you know, have fear around doing it themselves, you know. So reminding mm-hmm. All of us that there's great technology just at your fingertips is important.
Yeah. And like my assistant makes fun of me, but I always tell her, like, she'll ask me sometimes questions that I feel like she can answer on her own or research, not like technique questions. Like anytime it's about technique, I will gladly share with her. But like, if I'm working on a client and she's asking me something, like my number one thing is Google it. Like you have like the information, right? Like, yeah, she's like, I think the two highest words in your vocabulary are Google it. And I'm just like there's so much information at our fingertips that we don't sit down and realize like how much power we can have in knowing things. And I have a big, I'm working on something big right now, hopefully for 2019. So I have been in this huge research mode, and there's so many aspects to what I'm working on, and most everything I have found on the internet. And now there's different versions of everything, and then you're going to piece together what's going to work mm-hmm. for your situation. You're not going to find anything right. exactly that you're looking for, but you're going to get pieces in the research, and then you're going to talk to people, and you're just going to kind of piece everything together. And yeah, there's just, we have so much ability to know so much more about our own business than we, and it doesn't actually take that long to figure it out, what you're needing to know.
Well, and there's so many people are, you know, like ourselves, who are really wanting to share with the collective. And now, mm-hmm. you know, we're available in a way that, you know, is not intimidating. So people can actually ask you questions and, you know, yes. and you're available to answer them in a way that is peer to peer, not, you know, icon to peon. You know, it's totally different world yes. now.
And it totally is. And the thing is, there are so many people mm-hmm. willing to help you. Like I have reached out to so many people, and not once have I been shot down in this process awesome. That I'm going I through love right hearing now. That. And yeah, there's so, and like, and same was for me. Mm-hmm. If someone reached out to me, 100%, I'm going to do everything in my power to help you out with whatever I can do, whatever time I can offer you. And I'm just going to be upfront right. about what I can offer you, but I will do everything in my power to help you out.
So good. Such a great time. It's such a great time to be a creative, but I mean, really, it's just an extraordinary time to be in this industry. I'm just watching it explode in all these different avenues, and it's so inspiring.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it's a lot of fun right now to
So go back watch a little bit. I would love to know a little bit more about how you had the realization that you needed to make, you know, so once you kind of got into this space of you know, inquisitiveness and asking yourself questions about where you wanted to be and that this change that you had made wasn't the right fit. You know, how did you get to that place where you knew what you needed to do and how did you execute those action steps?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it happens with a lot of hairdressers because it is very rare for a hairdresser to be set up from the beginning and be given mm-hmm. realistic expectations and say, like, yeah, you're going to go 100 miles per hour and you're never going to get burned out. It's like, you know, it's just yeah. really, really tough industry. And I don't think anyone tells you that up front. So it's really, really tough. And yeah, I got to a place of burnout and I was just like, do I even want to do this anymore? And it was really, really sad because
yeah,
of course I wanted to do it, but I was just so, yeah, it was just a lot. And I didn't know how to manage like between everything. So you have to sit down and you have to figure out mm-hmm. what you want. So if you want to put this much time in with your family, if you want to put this much time in with your clients, if you want to, you have to sit down and write all those things down. You have to design exactly what you want it to look like on paper. And then you have to be flexible in your methods though. So and yeah. open-minded, I think, is a word that comes to my mind, is maybe taking different approaches to things and being more present in the time that you're putting into each space. Because I don't believe that there is a perfect balance, like yeah. a work-life balance. I don't think that is a thing. I think that's a false hope. It's more like, you need to divide your time, but then when you're in those, and I call it time blocking. And that's something that I learned actually from this woman in this podcast. And that way when I think one thing that we are all lacking right now sometimes is being present within the moment of what we're doing, because we have so many things going on yeah. that we're so scatterbrained. So I think it's really important to time block. And when you're in those time blocks, like if I'm going to time block with my family, then I need to be present with my children, you know, and I still hear it. It's not, and don't get me wrong, it's not just like writing it down and saying it out loud. It's going to make it happen.
Right.
It's a practice. And because my kids will still say to me, like, why are you on the phone all the time? You know, it's just like, okay, well, I'm working right now. Like, and that is one of the hard things with working from home, because they're not old enough to separate those, you know, like, because I'm working in the house. They can't separate that yet. So
why?
They're just like, why are you always on the phone? Well, because my clients are texting me all the time. So it's important to like, yeah, set the boundaries and then, you know, time block and really be present in those moments. And yeah. again, it's a practice. So you have to commit. You have to make a commitment to sticking to those moments. And so that's what happened for me, is I just got to a place where I considered yeah. leaving the industry. I was going to go to real estate school because that's what my parents do.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, and so, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't work with my parents every day.
Truth.
And lived
yeah,
like a,
truth.
You know, so, you know, because my husband's like, yeah, become a realtor, you know, like, just like, oh, but I'd miss, you know, and then you start to think like, yeah. well, I miss all these things. So it just came to the head where it's just like, okay, I got to figure this out because I want to make it work and I want to be well rounded. And every day what I commit to more is changing. It's never a constant yeah. Monday through Friday, like, thing. Yeah. It's a daily thing. And I try to make a list the night before sometimes on my bedside table, like just a little post-it, like, okay, these are the things that I must get done. And I put them in the order of importance for the next day. That way. And another thing that I've been doing is I used to sleep in and I don't anymore. I'm usually in my studio by 5:30 at the latest, but typically I get up at 4:50, and I know it sounds so obnoxious. That's awesome. But if you listen to any successful like business person, most of them are getting up at 4 or 5 in the morning. So that's something that I've changed recently. And it does. It just sets you up for the whole day. Like I used to drink 2 cups of coffee, sleep until 7, like last minute, like rushing to get my kids out the door. And then I need another cup of coffee in the afternoon. And it's like now I'm up at 4:50 most days, take my dogs out. And I start working by 5 a.m. I try to drink water now first. That's another big thing that I don't think hairdressers do. That's really important, I would say. So I try to drink, you know, at least a half a bottle of water first. And then I have my, like, coffee. And I'm only, you know, I'm getting up hours earlier. And I'm only having 1 cup of coffee today. And I'm just, like,
so excited. Now, are you going to bed earlier? Are you getting more sleep? Okay, cool.
Yes.
So important.
Yeah. That's the other side of it. So like yesterday, to be honest, I had a really rough day for the first time in a long time. It was just, oh my God, such a crazy. But the funny thing is that, you know, the old me, I think at the end of that day yesterday, the old me would have literally just broke down and started crying. And I think an important thing when you're growing is like, you just, you know, when you have days like that, you just kind of, you have to laugh about it. You have to laugh about it and, you know, just tell yourself like, okay, tomorrow is going to be a new day. Like it's okay. Like it wasn't anything major, but it was just a lot of little things that, the old me would have been like, oh my, and I still was like, oh my God, like did that day really just happen? But then I just like giggled about it. Like for like, okay, I'll just give you like, this was the biggest thing. Okay, I lit my bathroom on fire yesterday.
Sorry to laugh, but that's not what I was expecting to hear.
Yeah, so I had 2 girls with ponytails, like as thick as a horse's tail, covered in bleach, getting major makeovers, you know? And all of a sudden there's like smoke in my studio. And I'm like, what is that? It's like I sprayed a hairspray. And so I go inside, I'm like, oh my God, something's on fire. And I'm like running around my house, looking in the ovens, looking in the dryer, looking in the fireplaces. And I'm like yelling for my sister. I'm like, Allie, help me. Oh. Like something's on fire. And she's like, oh my God, the candle in your bathroom. And yeah, I was just like, oh my God, I had no idea. Yeah. So just this little glass candle, like shooting flames out of it. It just like lit itself on fire. Yeah, so the side of my bathroom wall and my ceiling is all black in there. And I have
everybody's coming here
because it's
house.
The holidays coming in. I'm just like, but it's just like, you know, and then my AC wouldn't kick on. It was like 80 degrees yesterday. That wouldn't kick on and, you know, stain my countertop. But, you know, it's all like such little insignificant things. And you just got to laugh about it because – really in the big scheme of life. And that's what I tell myself a lot of the times is we get wrapped up into these little moments and we think it's the end of the world. But if you know, and this is one of my dad's thing, he would always tell me like, well, in the big scheme of life, it's not that big of a deal. And you know, like a year from now, you're just going to be laughing about it. So why not just laugh about it now? So I try to, you know, I try to laugh a lot and and I just called friends like at the end of the day, like one of my good friends, and he just cracks me up and I, you know, chat with my husband and my husband makes
so
me laugh
important.
All the time. And
laughter is such good medicine.
Yeah. So it really, I mean, I know it's so cliche because that saying, but it truly, truly is.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And today you can laugh with your clients about she set the bathroom on fire yesterday.
Yeah. And we were.
Yeah.
Oh, honey. Yeah.
But yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah, and it's so interesting too. Yeah. I think, you know, it's to me, the consistency of having a broader perspective that helps in those moments, you know, that we can have, I don't know if it's emotional maturity or self, you know, compassion to be gentle, you know,
yeah.
That's so valuable.
Yeah.
I think we're really learning that those are the things that keep us looking at life with the half glass, you know, glass half full, not half empty kind of attitude.
Yeah. I think forgiveness is a big thing.
Exactly.
And self-forgiveness.
Yeah.
Is a really big thing, but yeah. Yeah. So yep. I get up early now and meditation is a big part of my morning ritual now.
Excellent.
So it's just that, yeah, that time in the morning to myself, you know, I'm not being pulled in any different direction, and taking that, you know, along with forgiveness and is self-care. And, you know, I think it's harder for women in general about self-care, because I think society sometimes makes you feel guilty if you want to take care of yourself, instead of putting everyone else first. And I just realized, you know, a couple of years ago, actually, I lied. I've known for a long time, since I got pregnant with my first daughter, that I needed to put myself and my happiness first, so that my children can see that. And I wanted to set that example for my children. Because an empty pitcher can't fill a glass of water, you know, so you have to fill yourself back up so that you can help others. And I just really wanted my children to see that, even if some people will call me selfish. When I take care of myself, I just think it's a really, really important thing for every person, even if you're not a mom, you know, to take care of yourself.
It's amazing that you knew that you needed to do that, because it's something that most of us, me included, have to learn the hard way.
Yeah. And I think I did learn the hard way. I just learned it 10 years ago, which is good. So earlier on in my life, but yeah, I mean, and it's still something I have to work on every day. And I think that's going to take a lifetime to master. I mean, no one can, it's, you know, impossible to master, but it's something you have
and
to
that's,
work
you know,
on
the,
daily.
Going back to, it's the practice, you know, it's progress. It's knowing that you're, you know, and I'm always talking about making incremental changes that create a foundation for lasting change, because I can't do it all right now. And if I did, I wouldn't appreciate it as much.
Yes.
You know, it's that whole thing
exactly.
Of like, yeah, I'm getting everything I want. I just don't get it when I think I should get it, you know, and that's better because I don't appreciate it as much, but, you know, it's understanding that, you know, if the life I want to live is flat and consistent all the time, you know, I'm not really living. And there's this fear, like you said, of change. And I love understanding that, you know, the thing I fear most is change, and the thing I fear most is not changing. And it's this constant kind of battle, you know, the human condition of, I'm afraid of losing what I want, losing what I have, and fear of not getting what I want. And in this idea that I should know it all now, and I should have it all now, and I should be there now, and the progression, you know, is just so powerful of being able to look back and see. Yeah. And I think, you know, the self-forgiveness is important, and it's that making, taking stock of victories, you know, that you can look back on yesterday and see the victories in it, even though you have, you know, damage done to your house, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I do look at it that way. I'm like, oh, well, at least I didn't burn the whole house down, you know? Like, I always, and like my friend was laughing at me, because I was like, another girlfriend I was talking with, she's like, oh my God, you always turn everything into a positive. And I'm just like, well, because I was like, well, I've been meaning to paint the bathroom, so now it's just going to force me to paint the bathroom. And she's like, she's like, oh my God, I can't even with you. You're like always make everything so positive. And I'm like,
exactly. Well, it's
better than the alternative. So,
so much better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I know, you know, from being witness of your influencing on Instagram, that each day you're really looking at, you know, what you can love, what you can be in gratitude for, what you can say out loud to yourself and to the world, this matters to me.
Yeah.
And I love how mm-hmm. you show up for the people who need you. And you're welcome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and I don't even know who I'm showing up for.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The funny thing about social media is you don't really know who you're reaching until someone mm-hmm. reaches out to you. And I'm just like, you know, that's a really cool feeling, is having it. Not that I'm putting out there for like people to like come back to me, but it is nice to know that I am helping someone. And it's really cool when someone's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And, you know, it just fuels me even more to want to help even more. And yeah, it's just a fun journey, and you just never know who's watching. And that's not why you should do it anyways, is you just got to throw all that love out there, and hopefully it blankets as many people as humanly possible, because I think we all really need
and unconditional love, you know, like you get to be you, I get to be me, and let's love each other being ourselves. You know, it's like that you know, really witnessing yourself in a genuinely loving manner allows you to do that for other people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always talking about how can I be compassionate to someone else if I am my own worst enemy? You know, if I'm speaking, if I'm speaking to myself, you know, with negativity and ridicule and just constant disapproval, how on earth am I going to go out into the world with non-judgment and unconditional love? It's got to start with us.
Yeah. It's just, exactly. I always try to look at myself first, and, you know, we are still human, and I think we have to keep them in mind too. And, but I think compassion's such a great word, and I've learned a lot about compassion actually recently, in the last couple of months with, you know, with someone that I'm really close to. And I just didn't, you know, have compassion for who they truly were. And, you know, I changed my mindset around that, and everything is just significantly better for it. And I'm so proud of myself, to be honest, for, you know, and that's okay. That's one thing too, I think.
Not allowed.
Not allowed. Like, not allowed to be proud of ourselves. And, you know, just like you were saying, like, we should celebrate the wins. And, you know, that was something, that is something I'm really proud, because it's made my, like, life and my daily just so much better. And yeah, so I think compassion is so, so, so important. And when you're having problems with someone, I think it's really important to look at yourself and ask yourself the important questions. And then if you change your mindset and really truly show that person compassion, especially if it's someone close to you. Now, if someone you don't need to deal with on a daily basis, like, there are some people you shouldn't waste your time with, but, you know, when it's someone really important to you, definitely compassion. And just compassion for everyone. You don't know where they've been. Exactly. You don't know what they're going through. And just because you don't want to be around them, you can still have compassion for that person and then move on.
Oh, it's such good stuff, Sarah. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. And I want to, I know you're guarded about what you've got going on, but I know that I took a class from you that was really powerful for me. Will you be teaching any more of your own stuff?
Not at this time, no. So anything that I am going to try to get back more into social media next year. And I'm just loving working with Lonza. So that's got me pretty full right now. And then what I'm working on personally as well. And hopefully that all comes out within the first quarter of the year, what I am working on. And so maybe we can do an update once that comes to fruition.
We'd love that.
Yeah. But yeah, so nothing. I mean, but like, again, if you need help with anything, like I hope whoever is listening, please like reach out to me. If you want to know anything about being in education or being behind the chair or starting a family, like whatever you want to know.
Yeah.
You know, like her even picking a partner, because I'm very opinionated on choosing the right partner, because being behind the chair, we see so many failed relationships, unfortunately. And it's just like, well, unfortunately, you picked a jerk right from the get-go. So there was major red flags from the beginning, but you just pushed through.
Oh, my God. And we know it all.
you know. Yeah, and I'm.
No, I mean, the hairdresser hears it all. You know, we heard it from the get go.
Oh yeah, for sure. Exactly. And it's like, well, I saw that red flag, and you know, sometimes people don't want our opinions, but you know, I feel like I picked a really, really great partner. I know you have a really, really great partner in life that supports you as well. And it's not that you need a great partner to be successful. You know, if you think you can do it on your own, like more power to you. I just think when you have that support, especially on the rough days, it's, you know, it's important to have someone that supports you and has compassion for you and loves you, has that unconditional love for you when you need someone to lean on, because we do, we all need someone to lean on, and we need that
intimacy, you know, and not the sexual intimacy, it's the intimacy of being able to sit with someone and actually be vulnerable and feel safe.
Yeah, exactly.
So powerful.
Yeah. And so I'm so fortunate that at a young age, I was able to pick a partner that just I can grow with. And to be honest, side note, you know, my 10-year-old has a different dad, and maybe that's the story we get into next time. But when I got pregnant with her, I realized that he was not going to be that person for me. And so I actually broke up with him when I was 3 months pregnant.
That is brave.
The hardest. Yeah. And my mom thought I was absolutely insane, but I just knew there was something more. And I am, again, I am so proud of myself that I had the guts to do that and then find that person that was going to be that person for me. And yeah. I manifested it and it came true, and I couldn't be happier.
And that's so, you know, again, like the victories. I love sitting back and looking at how, you know, God, universe, you know, creator, whatever you want to call it, but there's this alignment, this co-creation that you have been really in touch with, and it's, you know, fueled you, it's powered you into these incredible spaces of growth and understanding of what's needed for you to continue to fulfill, you know, your soul's purpose here on this planet, this lifetime. It's beautiful and so powerful to watch. I love it.
Oh, thank you. And I just want everyone to know, like, everyone has the ability to do the same thing. It is available to anyone. I don't care where you've been, what you've done in your past.
Amen.
Your future is 100% up to you. So it is doable.
Yeah.
You got this.
So we can find you on Instagram, The Spiritual Hairdresser. And and Sarah Mack, oh my gosh, I love you. And I'm so grateful for your time today and what you've been able to share with the listeners. It's just some really, really powerful stuff. So thank you.
Thank you again for having me. I love you too. I'm so... so, so happy to have met you and be a part of each other's tribe. And thank you, everyone who's listening. I mean, this is just such an amazing platform, India. And I just love where our industry is going.
Thank you. Thank you. And I will see you next month. Yay. Okay. Yes, have a wonderful rest of your day.
Bye. Have a great day. You too.
again, thank you so much for joining me for this episode with Sarah Mack. If you have any questions for Sarah, she is super available for you on Instagram at The Spiritual Hairdresser. And if you have any questions for me, please don't hesitate to reach out, india@indiadunn.com, and also on Instagram, india_dunn_and_co. Have a great rest of your day.